is Daf Lamed Zayin. We got to the last two lines of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Gemara asks, "My prisba, what exactly is the word prisba? What does that mean?" So Amar Rav Chisa says, "Prus buli ubuti." So what does all of that mean? So prus Rashi tells us, the very last Rashi in Lamed Vav Amud Beis tells us prus is a takana, it's a takana they made, and buli ubuti Rashi tells us, and we'll see in the Gemara in just a moment, but we'll look at Rashi first. Buli ubuti is ashirim vanim. It was for the benefit of the wealthy and for the poor, meaning ashirim the shelo yafsidu, to benefit the poor, the wealthy rather, that they shouldn't lose out, and if they lend money, they could still collect money even after Shemitah. And it's also vanim, for the benefit of the vanim, shelo yinalu delas b'fneim, so they don't close the door and don't allow them to get loaned anymore. We wanted to encourage the banks to give them loans, so therefore we protected the ashirim, which in which case will ensure them to continue to loan to the anim. How do you know that buli and buti mean wealthy and poor respectively? So the Gemara says in the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, buli elu ashirim refers to people who are wealthy. Dichseva v'shevarti es gaon uzchem. The pasuk says, the pasuk that appears in Vayikra, and this is Bechukosai, I will break the gaon, the haughtiness, the greatness of the uzchem, of your strength. V'tani Rav Yosef elu bulal shebihuda. That refers to the bulalos, as Rashi says, the ashirim. That's a reference to the wealthy people living in Yehuda. And so he used the word bula to refer to an usher. Buti, elu hanim, these refer to poor people. Dechsiv, as a pasuk says, habet habitenu, it's referring to having to help and lend money out to the poor. And the pasuk refers to habet, lashon of buti, to tell us that it refers to the anim. Okay, so that's all according to Rav Chisda. Comes along Amrli Rava. Rava says, Lila'uza, he asked the Lila'uza, Rashi says, what's a Lila'uza? Sheinu medaber blushin ivri hula'uza. One who does not speak Hebrew, he speaks any other language, he's called a Lila'uza. Ve'osa shasha Rava himanu, that person who Rava asked of, zos haya medaber blushin prusba. He spoke in this language that prusba was one of the words. U'perish lo shiblashona prusa takana. As the Gemara says that, so he asks, my prusbo, Amrli prusa de milsa. It means a takana. Prisbal means a takana. It wasn't so fancy that the buli and buti. Just prisbal is a way of saying a takana. Okay, so that's what prisbal means. So Gemara now is going to go into some detail about various halachas of prisbal and shmitas ksafim. So Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yasomim ein tzrichen prisbal. Yasom does not require a prisbal. V'chein tani rami bar chama yasomim ein tzrichen prisbal. The Rav Gamliel beis dino avin shel yasomim. Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din were considered the father of the Yisomim. What does that mean? Rashi explains first in our line down in Tzrichim Prisbol. Shein Shvius Mishametes Chov Avim Hames. That if they have an outstanding Chov from their father, the Mishmita will not cancel out, and they're able to still collect even after the death of their father and even after Shemitah. How do we know? Because Rabbi Gamliel, Beis Din, Rashi explains, Kolomer Nisiyei Yisrael Shebechal Dover, they're not only them, each generation, each Nasi of each generation serve as their father. Avin Shel Yisomim Heim, U'memonim Aleim, they are going to be appointed over them, Val Memonim, and on their money. V'havu Shtarosein Kimisurin LeBeis Din, even though their documents of collection were not handed over, it's as if they were handed over to Beis Din. Okay, so interesting. So it serves as handing over, it's as if it was Musr to a Beis Din, even though it actually wasn't. And now, what Rashi says, it's referring to the Shemitah of the Chov of their father. Pashtus and other Rishonim say it's referring to the Yisomim themselves who had lent out money, let's say. That's what it's referring to, their own loans. Rashi, for some reason, it's a big discussion in the Achronim, Rashi is talking about the father's loan that gets handed over to the Yisomim. Okay, the Gemara says, a Mishnah, quotes from a Mishnah. Mishnah appears in Masechah Shvius, Tinan Hasim, Ein Kosin Prisbal Ela Al HaKarka. One only writes a prisbal if the loveh, the borrower, has some karka. Why? So Rashi explains, Ela Al HaKarka, Im Yesh Karka Leloveh. If the loveh has karka, Delo Tiknu Ela Bezman Shechov Kishar Rov Sharos. So the only time that takana existed is when this fits into the category of a regular loan, which is what? Shein Nigvan Min HaKarka, Da Havi Milsa Deshichi. When I normally lend that money, I want to make sure that the borrower has a loan. I have a lien on his property, on his karka, on his land. So that's most of the shrichi. It's very uncommon that I'll lend that money if there is no karka. So it's an issue of most of the shrichi and most of the lo shrichi. But in a situation where it's most of the lo shrichi, where the lender has no karka, since it's simply a most of the shrichi, technicality, there's no prisbal in that case. Prisbal only exists where there's a common type of loan. It sounds like a very interesting explanation of why you need a karka. Most other Rishonim argue in Rashi and say the reason why you need a karka is because you need something for it to be chalon, to have some mamashis with it and have some to be concretized. So if there is a karka there, a point of payment for the malva, that's where the prisbal will exist, and as if it will be able to circumvent its kegavodam, almost as if it's collected by the malva, in order to have the prisbal be effective and circumvent the shmita
k'safim. How does that help the aniyim?
It helps the aniyim because it really helps the ashirim. But you need the ashirim to be able to collect in order to help the aniyim. I won't lend money as the ashir unless I know I'm going to be getting money back.
Unless the person you loan it to has something that you can hold by.
Exactly.
That's our gufa, by his nani.
It's very possible that he has a place to live. Yeah. We assume he's homeless. So it's mostly the shriha that I have a homeless person. So he has karka, he's a bias. He's a place where he's living.
So it's a middle class, I got you.
No, it could even be low class. I mean, there's still a low class that's not homeless. There are many poor people in the community who are, collecting on for Shabbos meals and stuff, and have places where they live. So I don't think it's a crazy thing. Okay, what am I? No,
they don't own their house.
Okay, im ein lov. Let's say the lova has no money. What are you supposed to do? Mizakeu besoch sadeu kolshu. So then the malva should do a tova for him and be mizake to the lova a small amount of karka of his own. The bank should give a part of their money and part of their property to the lova in order for this to be chal. The kama kolshu, what is a kolshu? Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, amar Rav, afilu kelech shel karav, even the root of a karav. What's a karav? The carob tree? Okay. Even a small piece of carob. Amar Rav Yehuda, afilu hishilu makom latanu lekirayim. Not only do you have to give him actually property, but even lending him the ability, the use of my land to place his ovens, kosan la prisma. That's also enough. You don't have to actually have bailus of karka, but simply hishtamshus. Heter hishtamshus would be allowed as well. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, Aini, is that really true? Vahatani Hillel, doesn't Hillel teach us? Ain kosan prisbal el al atitz nakiv bilvat. That you're only able to add a prisbal on a atitz nakiv on a pot that has a hole where it's connected, it's considered b'chubla karka. So we see from here, nakiv in, she nakiv lo. Only if there is a hole where it's a b'chubla karka, even though it's there's a space, but it's still nourishing from the ground through that hole. But if there is no hole, then you're not allowed to use that atitz she nakiv as a karka for prisbal. Amai, why not? Va'ikim akomo. If the guy is giving me the atz nakav, it's a sheino nakav. So although it's not mechubal karka, it still has space. It still has space on the ground to be able to use that. And that makom is no different than the makom of the tanner. So from the fact that Hill does not allow you to use a atz sheino nakav tells you that the makom of a karka doesn't work. You have to actually have bailus of the karka. So the Gemara answers, lochicha no demanach asiche. It's talking about a situation where the pots were being placed on pegs, where you were not using makom of the ground. Actually, it was being hanged above somehow, suspended from above, and not on the ground. So there's actually no makom akarka that's all being used. But if it's a atitz shenakov that's lying down on the ground in a chanami, that would be enough shamshus to allow the prisbal to take effect. Rav Ashi makni le gidma de dikla. Rav Ashi would be makni over a part of the limb or branch of a dekel tree, the kasala prisbal, and use that to write a prisbal. That's considered, Rashi says, gidma is a geza de dekel, katutz. Geza is the trunk of a dekel that was cut, geza mechubar barts, and still connected to the ground. That's what he would use to write a prisbal. That was the karka. Rabbanan de Bei Rav Ashi, the Talmidim of the base medrash of Rav Ashi, Masri Milayu Lahadade, they would hand over to each other. What do you mean Masri Milay? Milayu means milim, words. So Rashi explained, below Ksivas Prisbal, they actually wouldn't use a Prisbal. El Kach Amar Lechaverim Harei Atem Beisdin Vechovi Mas Lechem Lekvoso Kozban Sheirza. They wouldn't actually use documents. They would simply say to each other, and that would be enough, apparently. And that's how we paskin. That's what's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, that you don't actually have to write a document. Simply saying would be enough to circumvent Shemitah Tzksafim. And then Rabbi Yonasan Amasim Mile Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, he did that to Rabbi Chia. Amalei Trichana Mide Achrina, do I need something else? Amalei Lo Trichas, all you have to do is say that you're willing to give me the power to collect for you, and that's enough. There is no need for a document. We of course are Machmir to even use documents, but according to the letter of the law of the Gemara, you don't actually have to write that. It's enough to say it. Gemara now quotes a brayso, Tanur Rabbanan, Ein lo karka u la'ariv yesh lo karka. Let's say the loved doesn't have money, but the co-signer does have a karka. Kosvin alav, prizbo, that's enough. You don't have to have the actual loved, but as long as someone who owes money has karka, that's enough. Let's say lo u la'ariv ein lehem karka. Let's say both he and the co-signer does not have any karka. U lechayev lo yesh lo karka. But to someone else who owes a loved money, a third party owes a loved money, and that third party does have karka, you can be kosin ala prizba. That actually works, even though it's so far removed. How do we know that karka that's so far removed is enough for my prizba to work? Let's learn that from a famous shita of Rabbi Yonasan. Datanya Rabbi Yonasan Omer, minayin lenoshe b'chaveru mana, v'chaveru b'chaveru minayin, shemotzin mizeh menosin lezeh. Let's say I owe Andy money, Andy owes Adam money, Adam can come directly to collect from me. Instead of me going, have to go through Andy to get to you, come work, we'll talk directly to each other. So here too also, if I have the karka, and I owe the lova money, so even though he doesn't have any karka, and you're the bank, so that karka is going to work for the prizbal of the bank to be effective on Andy. You're able to make such jumps. But how do you know that works? What's the source? The Gemara asks again, minayin shemotzin mizeh venosin lezeh, can take out from me to give to Andy, to Adam, and skip over Andy. Tamalomer v'nasan lasher asham lo, to give to he who is owed to you. So Rashi doesn't really explain the drasha, but this is the drasha that appears in many places. That one who owes to him, you give to the one who owes him. It's referencing skipping over the middle party. Tosa points out there's some discussion whether you pask in this way. You see from the Ein Mishpat that's how we pask in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch. Tosa makes mention of such a debate here. Midi Rabbi Nasan, he writes, Halacha k'Rabbi Nasan, dirava, b'perek kol shah, the Gemara M'sachim, lo m'tok me milsa elok Rabbi Nasan, kai pluksa dil mafreya, who go debai v'rava v'kaim lan k'rava bar mi'al k'gam. This machlok is there in M'sachim, and it talks about a person borrowing money from a nachri, and they're using chametz as a collateral there. Machok is a bayin rava retroactively. Let's say I never paid up the money, and how that works. My friend, we kind of love a big discussion there.
And we always become yours, means
exactly becomes mine. Yeah. Distinction: if I'm lending the money, he's lending the money. Whatever the discussion over there is, machok is rava nebaye, and we pass like rava there, except for the case of yalkagam. This is not one of the yalkagam, so we pass like rava in that case there. And that sugya there, rava apparently goes with the world with the shita of Rabbi Nasan. So based on that sugya, we always pass like rava. And Rava's working within Rabbi Nassim, tells us that we're passing like Rabbi Nassim. But then Tosas writes, he quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, Bitchila, initially Rabbeinu Tam wanted to say, wrote to Lomar, De'ein halachak Rabbi Nassim. We don't pass like Rabbi Nassim. V'shuv chazar ba'av ein laharikan, but then he retracted and says, we do pass like Rabbi Nassim. It's interesting to note, I don't know how often this happens, but we had recently a sugya Tosos in Brachos that quoted Rabbeinu Tam, who also retracted. We don't have it oftentimes where, in Tosos, that they retract. If you have, like, the Rishon, like the Ritva, the Rashba, they'll just change it. They don't say, I used to think this way, and I changed my mind. Bali Tosos was a collection of different Bali Tosos, so sometimes you'll have different parties being quoted. So it's interesting that now there are two times, probably more, where you quote Rabbeinu Tam's initial psak and then his change later on. Okay. Let's go weiter now. Gemara quotes another Mishnah found in Masechah Shviyas, the 10th Berak, Tanan Hasam. HaShviyas Mishametes Es HaMilva Bein Bishar Bein Shlo Bishar. The Mishnah says, and we have to understand what this means, that the Shemitah is going to knock out any loan, whether it's a loan written or whether it's a loan not written, not in a document. What does that mean? So Rabbi Shmuel, Damri Tavaya, both of them come along and say, Bishar refers to a shtar sheish b'achrayos, nechasim, a shtar that has liens on the lova's property. And shalobashar means she'ein bo achrayos nechasim, where there are no liens, but still a shtar. It's a shtar, just a shtar without nechasim, without liens. And then both those cases, Shemitah will knock out. And then they add, and kol she'ein milva peh, then certainly a verbal agreement, that certainly where there is no shtar, that certainly will be knocked out by Shemitah's ksafim. That's Rav and Shmuel's understanding of this Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Damri Tavad, they come together, usually they argue, but they come together here, and they argue in Rav and Shmuel and say, Bishtar means Shtar Shein Bachrayos Nechasim. It refers, no, shah, when you say mishnah, the shah refers to a shah that has no lien, that's where Shemitah's Ksafa knocks it out. And when the mishnah says shelo b'shah, that there was no shah, it means that there was no shah at all, which means a milval peh, that the milval peh is also going to be cancelled out through Shemitah's Ksafa. Aval shtar sheyesh b'acharayos nechasim ein mishamim. But if it's a shtar that has a lien on it, which has a karka to it, that will be protected and from Shemitah's Ksafim, even though no prizba was written. So that's Machlokas Rav Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Okay, the Gemara now quotes a Braisa, Tani Kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shlakish. The Braisa supports this last opinion, which says shtar chov mishamim. A shtar of a collection is going to be cancelled out by Shemitah. But if there's achrayos, if there's some liens, nechasim, eino mishamit, it will not be wiped out. Tani idach, yet another brisa says, sayim lo sada achas behavaso, eino mishamit, if when they had made the agreement to loan, and he pointed out, he designated, he singled out a certain property to collect, if I don't pay the money, that will not be mishamit either. V'lo, oh, not only that, and even if I don't even specify a land, but I say all my property will be a source of collection if I don't pay you back, that also will be protected from Shemitah, and that's again in line with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. One time, there's a story that Kreva, the Rabbi Yasi, the relatives of Rabbi Yasi, have a lehahush shtar to have a ksaf to be'achraus nechasim. They had a document that said they're able to collect from any of the properties if the lova doesn't pay up the money. So also the Kami de Rabbi Yasi, he went to his relative, his uncle, I don't know who it was, to them, but their relative Rabbi Yasi. And Amalei, Mishamit, oh, Eina Mishamit, they asked him, is it going to be protected from Shemitah or will not be protected from Shemitah? Amalei, Eina Mishamit, it will not be knocked out, will not be wiped out, because it, since there's Achrayos, and we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, therefore it's not going to be Mishamit. Shav gave also the Kami de Rabbi Yochanan. Then he went to Rabbi Yochanan himself, who is the author of that statement. Amalei, Mishamit, Rabbi Yochanan said, it will be Mishamit. Also, Rabbi Yasi, the Kami of Yochanan, then Rabbi Yasi himself went to Rabbi Yochanan, and Amalei Meshamit or Ein Meshamit. Which one is it? Amalei Meshamit. It shouldn't be Meshamit. But Mar Hu Damar Ein Meshamit. But didn't we hear from you that you said it's not Meshamit? How come you're passing here that it is Meshamit if we have a statement from a sower from you that you're passing that it's not Meshamit? That when there are Nechasim, that the shtar is going to be protected from Shemitah's Ksafim. So Rabbi Yochanan responds, Amalei, and this line appears a few places in Shas. I see that Masorah Shas quoted in earlier. We saw this nowhere else. Rabbi Eger, they both point out to Yudtes only one time. Okay, we saw this in the sugyas of Befanin Nechtam. Befanin Nechtam. He says Amalei, V'chim Yipnei Shanu Medamin Nasa Ma'isa. Because I thought that it seemed to be the case that you're actually going to put this into practice. I didn't pass in that way. I thought it made sense that if there's a shtar sheish b'achrayos, that it should be protected from Shemitah's Ksafim, but I never wanted to implement that. I don't know that for sure. And that's therefore a paskin that it should be Meshameh. So Amarle, Vahat Tanya, Kavasa Demar, but isn't there Brisa that clearly says like a Yochanan? So it's a Brisa. You don't have to say Medame anymore. It's actually a real psak in the Brisa. Amarle, Dilma Hau Beshameh. Maybe the author of the Brisa is Beshameh. We don't paskin like Beshameh. Damer Shtar, Haumir Lagavos Kigavi Dami. He holds that a shtar that is subject to being collected is considered collected now, but we don't paskin like that. So maybe that brisa is like Beis Shammai. So I can't use that as a proof.
Usually we saw on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph that when they give their chov over to Beis Din, the Lashon Rashi's bro was Mosrani Lechem Shtarosi. We're giving over our shtar to you,
mm-hmm,
so that it shouldn't be Meshame. So by it's mashma from there. I haven't had a note on the side. It was mashma from there that a milval peh, you can't even give to Beis Din to protect it. So the only time it would come out that the whole prizbal concept would be shaykh would be a milva b'shtar that doesn't have a charis nechasim. Because if that's a charis nechasim, we're saying that it's not mashamed at all. You don't need prizbal. If it's milval peh, we're saying on the last blot here that maybe you wouldn't even need prizbal at all. Sort of a limited application.
Right, but I guess in practice, though, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't willing to say that even. So since we pass on Rav and Shmuel, anytime there's a shtar, one would require it. But milval peh wouldn't work. Would not work, milval peh. Okay. Marna quotes another Mishnah. This Mishnah also appears in Maseches Shvi'is and says as follows. Tanan hasam, hamalve es chaver maos, the guy lends money to his friend, al hamashkon, with the collateral. Moses Sharos or the Bezdin, where a guy gives all the documents to Bezdin to watch over, Ein mishamten. These are two examples, two situations, two ways to avoid shmitas ksafim. Either they're having a mashkon, which will solidify the loan and protect it, or to give it to Bezdin. So bishma moser sharos of lebezdin detafshi lebedino. I understand the case where I hand my documents over to Bezdin, and they're holding on to it. That will be protected from shmitas ksafim. Rashi explains why. Seven lines up from the bottom. The tafshi le beidina hefker and hefker. They have the ability to be mafker things. The gavi malve lo karina by lo yigos. The malve is not violating lo yigos. He's not pressuring to collect money. And Bezin has a right to collect because they have the koach of hefker. But when it comes to Ella, the Gemara asks milva al hamashkun my time. How come when I lend money and there's a collateral there, how come that is going to be avoided from shmitas kusafim? So I'm a rava mishum the tafish le. Because he's tafish slave. What do you mean? Rashi, the tafish slave, ain't no ksav of a tafish klum. I'm not holding on. If he wants his watch back, he has to come get it. I'm not claiming from him. I have this collateral here. He wants his back, he's going to come pay for me. I'm not chasing after him. So I don't need to chase. Since I'm not chasing after him, there's no violation of lo yigos. If there's no violation of lo yigos, there's no shmitas ksafim. Shmitas ksafim, as the pasuk and Rei indicates, only exists if there's an issue of lo yigos. In a situation where there will not be any lo yigos, then shmitas ksafim does not take effect. That's Rashi's understanding. So Amaleah, Bai says, El Miyate, that's the case. Halvehu vidar b'chatzero. If he borrowed money and he lived in your chatzir, the tafis lay, hachanami de lo mishamim. You see the guy every morning. You wake up, you get the newspaper and have some coffee and with him in the front porch. There's no lo yigos, not pressuring him. You're there. He knows you. He owes you money. There's no pressuring there at all. So since there's no lo yigos, so maybe shmitas ksafim shouldn't take effect there either.
Are we saying that you're a tenant of his? Is that the point? That the darba chatzero, that you're living in his
property? It sounds like you're living in his property.
That's what it sounds like, yes.
But I think the idea is that since you see him, maybe I'm wrong, since you see him pretty often, there's no lo yigos that's there. It's just he understands. Let's say maybe I misunderstand.
But that's not tafis.
It doesn't say if you have to get rent from him, just letting him live there.
Squatting.
Yeah. Well,
uh-huh.
He's a nice guy.
So it sounds like the malvis tofes in the chatzer. He's mamish living there. And he's grabbing onto the chatzer of the love.
Yeah.
So that's the idea, I guess, if you want to evict me from your property, you're going to have to pay me back the money. So he's using that as leverage.
Right.
So once there's that leverage, I don't need to pressure him. If he wants me to get out of here, he's got to do what he needs to do. That's how the Masifta is presenting it. There's a very, very long discussion here. Okay. We'll take it with that. Okay, the Gemara now says that also, since there's no lo yigos, I'm using the chatzer as my leverage, so maybe there shouldn't be shmitas ksafim there. Amalei, the response back is, shiny mashkon is very different. The kani le, there's a kinyan. I actually own it. When I go to the guy's chatzar, I'm not owning it. And that's not called tefisa there. Yes, he wants to evict me. There's a whole process you have to go through. That's not tefisa. I'm not being tefisa. When it comes to the collateral that was given to me, the mashkon, there's a kinyan there. How do I know that there's a kinyan? Again, a famous sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak, which appears a few places in Shas as well. Damar Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin le balchov, shekone mashkon. How do I know that the balchov, the bank, I could be coned the collateral until he pays back the money, then I return the collateral. As the pasuk says, "Shenemar v'lecha hatiyat tzedakah," that for you it should be tzedakah. That when you borrow, when you have a collateral of a person who needs that item, you should return it to him. They're talking about an almana, different situations where she needs her clothing, the day clothing or the night clothing, whatever it might be, that you should return it. So they ask the Gemara, "Imei no koneh tzedakah minayin?" If I'm not koneh the mashkon, how come that's not considered tzedakah? By me giving your money back to you, that's not called tzedakah. It's only called tzedakah if I'm giving back that which I own. So I own the collateral now, and I return it back. Let him use it. That's called tzedakah. So how do I know? Imei no koneh tzedakah minayin mikan lebal chov shekoneh mashkon. From here we see, how do we know again? Tzedakah minayin must be therefore that the bal chov is koneh the mashkon, and therefore returns it each time. So since the bal chov is koneh the mashkon, is therefore the tefisa is there. I don't need to be lo yigos. There's no issue of pressuring him anymore, and therefore it's protected from the halachas of shmitas ksaf. Okay, the Gemara now quotes from another Mishnah that appears in Maseches Shviyos. Tanan Hasan Mishnah over there tells us that hamachz yechov lechaveru b'shviyos. A guy wants to return the money during Shviyos. So what's halacha? Tzarech shiomar lo mishamid ani. So Adam borrowed money from me. He wants to return the money. I said, no, you don't have to return the money. Shmitas ksafim kicked in, and you're pater. And if you want to pay, if he tries to pay me back, I, as the bank, have to say to him, mishamid ani, I'm mishamid. I'm releasing you from your obligation. Avim amar lo, and if Adam says still, afa bikein yikabe himanu, If he says, nonetheless, I want to give it, then I'm allowed to accept the money from him. Shenemar v'zeh devar shmitah. These are the words of the shmitah that you have to actually have this conversation. I have to say, no, it's mishami. And you have to say, yes, afa pikein. And then I'm able to collect the money. That would be okay. Very important lines here in the Gemara, by the way. Firstly, the one that says, Bashvi, it sounds like that the chov during Shvi is when the Shemitah Ksafim take place. Bashvi, it sounds like during Shemitah year. Shemitah Ksafim doesn't take place, according to Moshe Shonim, until the end of the Shemitah cycle. Some say in the beginning, we paskin in the end, some are machmir to do both. When it comes to prisbos, we machmir, we typically do only the end. So what does it mean you're collecting money? Bashvi is during Shvi is the chov is still outstanding. Of course you have to pay back the money. So Rashi addresses this and says, "Hamachzir chov lechaver b'shvius, bizman sheyesh shvius noheges." What it means is during the times when shvius is noheg, not during the shmita year, but during the tkufos when shvius are being kept. The avra loves shvius, and then shmita passes, which case shmita's ksavim kicks in. V'acharkach echzir, then he wants to return it. But it can't be, says Rashi, it can't be lo shechzir b'shvius asma, not when it was returned during shvius. Dim kein lo havet tzarch lememar mishamet ani. There's no need to say this. The kaimelon ein shvius mishamet es el basofa. Shemitah's Ksavan hasn't yet kicked in during the Shemitah cycle. It's not until the end of the Shemitah year does it kick in. Another important line here is, there's a big discussion here, how Shemitah's Ksavan works, Machlokas, Yireim, and others. Is Shemitah in general, and also Shemitah's Ksavan, how much is it Afkasa the Malka, Afkasa the Gavra? Is it Afkasa the Malka, where the king, the Gzeres Melka, just happens automatically? Or is it really a din in the Balchov, that the Malva has to take a part and say that I want to, I'm being Mochan alone? What if he wasn't mochan alone? Does it still take effect? So there's a big discussion. So the fact that he has to say mishamit ani sounds like he has to play a role in the mechila. It's not simply afkasa de malka, where the malka says this is what the halacha is. It seems like there's a certain role that he plays. That's how some use this as a raya to teach us that. Okay, again, it's a big discussion. Gemara says, now Amar Rabba v'tayle ad Amar Hachi. And not only that, a person should force him, should hang him up, take him by the neck and the shirt, let's say, hang him on a tree until he says, Afal Pikein. So you really have to pressure him to pay the money back. Right? He says, I'm going to pay you, and he says, no, I'm Mishamin Ani, we could force a lover to say, Afal Pikein. Still, you want to pay the money back anyways. So Gemara asks, Eisive, Abaye challenges Rabban, Kachu, Nosin Lo, when he gives it to you, when he returns the money back to you, al yom belo b'chov, we don't say I'm returning back as a chov, because the chov is done. Ani no sein lecha, ela, again, al yom belo b'chov, ani no sein lecha, ela o yom belo sheli hein, it's my money, uvim matana ani no sein lecha, I want to give it to you as a present. That's what he should say. So what's the shiloh there? How can you force a guy to give him a matana? You can't force a guy to give him a matana, it doesn't make sense. So, answers the Gemara, amalei, tatali lei nami adah adam hachi, yes. Nonetheless, you could still force him to say as a matana. Meaning, it sounds like from here, Rashi doesn't say that much here. It sounds like, if you look at Rashi's ad d'amar hachi, b'matana ani no sein lecha, vein kan misham lo yigos, d'lo babe dina t'katav elei v'lav misham achov. So, yes, you actually can force him to say the matana, that you want to give it to you as a matana, because there's no violation of lo yigos, you're not pressuring him to collect for your chov, and therefore this is permitted. I'm not really getting the whole back and forth here so much, but it sounds like we really wanted to make sure that the banks get paid back the money, because otherwise the whole system's going to fall apart. That's what it sounds like to me. Even in a situation where there was no prisbo written. So Abba Bar Marisa Dehava Abba Mar Binyomi, the person who is both the son of Marisa and the son of Binyomi, have a masik bei Rabba Zuze. So he owed him some money, he owed Rabba money. I seen in the Hele Bishvius, at the end of Shvius, he went to Rabba and wanted to pay him back the money. I'm relay mishamit ani, says Rabbi, I'm mishamit, I don't need to. He said what he needed to say, I'm not collecting money. So what happened was, Abba bar Marisa shaklina v'azil, he took his money and left. Okay, thank God, I don't have to pay that back the money. Also, bai came along, ashechei dehava atziv, he saw Rabbi was very, very sad. I'm relay amaya tziv, why are you so mar, why is Mar so upset? I'm relay hachi hava maisi, tell them what happened, the guy wants to pay me back. I said no, and he walked away, and he didn't pay me back. So, azil agave, so, Abai chased down Abba Bar Marsa. Amrlei Amtile Zuze Lamar. Do you owe money to Rabba? Amrlei In, yeah, I owe him money. Amrlei Umai. Amrlecha, so what did he say to you? Amrlei Mishamidon. He said, I'm Mishamid. He said, I'm Mochel my the Chov. Amrlei, so he says, Amrlei Afa Biken. Did you say Afa Biken? You still want to pay anyways? Amrlei, no, I didn't say that. Amrlei, vi Amrlei, if you told him that, Amrlei, if you tell him Afa Biken, have a Shaklina Menach, he would have taken the money from you. Hashem yes amtinu nehele v'emalei. Now go and chase him down. Go find Rabba and emalei afa pikein. Go tell him. Still, nonetheless, you'd like to pay back the money. Azul Amtina Neheli, he chased him down, tracked him down. Amrlei, Afa Pikein, says, still, nonetheless, I want to pay back the money. Shaklinu Menene, Rabba took the money very happily. Amr lo hava bei daita b'hai turba b'barna meikar. I'm sorry about this. I didn't know this was halach. It sounded like I didn't know this was one of the things you have to do. I apologize. And be mochami and walking away without paying you back the money. And that's the maisa. So we see from here, even without prisbo, the halach is a person should have this dialogue that even though it's mishamin ani, I still want to pay back the money. A person's belief to say, I have a prisbo in my hand, but I lost it. My time. Why? What's the reason? Came into the kine rabbanim prisbo lo shavik heter v'achil isra. Because a person, if once a chacham instituted the concept of a prisbo, I as the malva, am not going to take the us approach, I'd rather take the mut approach. We assume everyone's a good guy. I don't want to lose my money. So maybe if there was no concept of prisbo, I would lie to make sure I get my money back. But now that it's a concept of prisbol, I would not take the Isser track, I'd rather take the prisbol track. I would write a prisbol and put it to Besdin. So therefore, since we trust people will do the Mutter track as opposed to the Isser track, I'm believed to say that I wrote a prisbol, I just lost it. And we trust him. So that is permitted. Ki as lekami de Rav, when they came to Rav, Amar lei mi de prisbol hayelecha, vavod, ki goon de pesach picha li'ilam. So a person is a dying normally, there's halachas, that a dayan is not allowed to advise one of the baladinim how to argue in Besdin, what arguments they should use. But some arguments are permitted to suggest them to say. So this is one of the suggestions that you are allowed to say is, you can pesach picha ilim, you can't open the mouth of an ilim of a mute, by suggesting to him and asking him, did you ever have a prusbal and did you lose it? That is something that is permitted to say. Tanan, there's a Mishnah that tells us, the Mishnah appears also in Masechah Shvi'is again, that's the theme here. I think it appears in Shvi'is, right? No, this actually appears in Masechah Ksubis. The Mishnah says, V'chein b'chov shemoti shtarchov, v'enim aprizbol, hare elu lo yifru. So wait a second, doesn't the Mishnah tell us otherwise, that a person finds a b'chov, and there is no prizbol, he's not able to pay, why not? Couldn't there be a situation where there was once a prizbol and he just lost it? Why don't we ask him, maybe there was a prizbol and he lost it? So we see from here, you need to have a prisbol currently in order to collect. Even if he had one, if he doesn't have one now, he lost it, it doesn't work. So Gemara says, you're right, it's a tanaihi, it's really machlokas tanaim. The tani, the Brisa says very clearly, hamoti shachov tarch shehem al prisbol. If a person has a document and he wants to collect after Shemitah, he needs to have it accompanied with a prisbol. However, the chachamim omim in tarch, you don't need one. That doesn't mean you don't need one at all. What it means is you don't need to have one now, as long as you once had a prisbol, even though it may have been lost, that works as well. And Rashi explains why that has to be. Okay, so that ends our discussion of prisbols and Shemitah's Ksafim. And if a person wants to learn the sugya, this is clearly the place, one of the only places that talks about it. I also mentioned in Makos Gimel and Beis, and the Mishnah Shvi'is talks about it, and Mishnah Shavuos rather talks about it. But other than that, this is the main sources of prisbol and Shemitah's Ksafim. Okay. The Mishnah now tells us, going on to a very, very different topic, we're going to spend a few days now on Eved Kenani. The Mishnah tells us that an Eved Shenishba Upadahu, an Eved who gets captured, there's a halacha of Pidyon Shvuyim. When it comes to a Yid, there's certainly a mitzvah Pidyon Shvuyim. The Rambam calls the Pidyon Shvuyim, I think it's the only place he refers to it, as a mitzvah rabba, I think he calls it. It's a very, very big mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. It's a big, big thing. Many halachas that we have to push off other mitzvahs in order to collect money for Pidyon Shvuyim. So what's halacha when it comes to an Eved Kenani? An Eved Kenani, a non-Jewish slave owned by a Jew, he gets captured. What's halacha of redeeming him? So the Mishnah says as follows. Let's say he's redeemed to be a slave. So he's redeemed to be a slave. He's taken out of the hands of the captors, and he becomes and continues to be a slave. But im l'shem ben charen, if he was redeemed to be free, then lo yishabed, then he is free. He doesn't have to be enslaved after that. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer ben kach yishabed. Regardless of why he was redeemed, if he's redeemed and when he's redeemed, he's always going to go back into slavery. Gemara wants to know, but Ma'askin, what exactly is the situation here that we're talking about when he's redeemed? Ilei malifnei yish, if he was redeemed before the owner was ever miyayish on him, he never gave up hope. He knew for sure that the Eved's going to come back. He knew someone was going to redeem him. So if it's lifnei yish, l'shem ben charen, amai lo yishabed. If he was redeemed for the purpose of not being slaved, for being freed, why would he not be enslaved? The guy was never miyayish. I, as the owner, still have full rights to him. You have no right to redeem him to be free. You can't free him. Only I can free him. So why would you say, if it's l'shem charen, according to the Tanakhama, he should be free? It doesn't make sense. Elo, therefore, must be la'achar yish, must be after I, as the master, have given up hope. He's therefore released from my property. And therefore, l'shum eved amai shabbat. So now, if he's going to be redeemed to be slaved, why should he go back to being my slave? I already gave up hope, as miyayish, and as mochel on his shibud. So Amar Bai explained, li'olam l'fnei yish. Really, it's before yish. I have not given up hope. It's still under my bialis. Ulushim eved yishabi l'rabba rishon. And if he's redeemed by some other party to be enslaved by me as the rabba rishon, then he's going to be continued to be enslaved. But ben chorin, if he's going to be freed, lo yishabi lo l'rabba rishon lo l'rabba sheni. He shouldn't be free. He should be freed rather, and he should not be enslaved, not by me as the first master, and not by the second guy who just redeemed him. Why not? The Rabbo Sheni lo dehal l'shem ben chorin parki. He's not going to be enslaved by the second guy who redeemed him, because the guy redeemed him to be free. So he's redeemed from that guy's perspective. And the Rabbo Rishon, why is he not going to be freed and redeemed, at least, to be back in my possession? I was never Miyayish, he's still mine. The reason why, there's a special takana they made, dilma mimnev lo parki. Because if I, let's say, he's my slave, he became captured. Harry's not going to redeem him. If he knows he's going to go back into my possession, he's not going to redeem him. He'll just leave him there as a slave in the possession of the captors. Only if he knows he's going to get the way out to be a free person, will he be willing to put up the money to redeem him. So they made a takana, therefore, that I will lose my right of him being an eved if some other party is willing to redeem him. Now what gets involved here is, the discussion they've shown him is there a mitzvah of pidyonish shvuyim when it comes to avadim, eved kanani? Eved kanani is a partial Jew, partial not Jew. This is part of the discussion we'll see in the Gemara. It seems to indicate such a discussion. We shall talk about this a little bit more in depth. So anyways, it sounds like from here that Eved Kanani would not be considered a full-fledged Jew, and there would not be a mitzvah pidyon shvuyim of an Eved Kanani. And the only reason, the only way Harry would be willing to redeem him is if he would be mamish, a free person. Because once he becomes a ben chorin, now he'll be a yid. But so long as he's not going to be freed, he stays as an Eved Kanani, and he's not a Jew. And if he's not a Jew, therefore there's no mitzvah pidyon shvuyim, he won't help him out. That's all according to Abaye's understanding of the Tanakhama. Then Abaye explains, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer ben kach yishabed, he's going to be mishabed either way, no matter why Harry redeems him. Kesavar, he holds, kishem shemitzah liftos as benen chorin, kach mitzah liftos as avadim. No, he holds, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, that just like there's a mitzvah to redeem Jews, so too there's a mitzvah to redeem avadim. Why? Because seemingly Jews, avadim, are considered Jews. The chayv mitzvah is like women, la. So they have there's to a certain extent, a full-fledged Jew. They have a special tour in mitzvahs aseh shezman grama, but they're really considered full-fledged Jews, and that's why nothing would get in the way of Harry redeeming Eved, and therefore when he comes out of captivity, he continues to be my slave because I was never miyayish. That's all in the world of Abaye, that's lifnei yish. Comes on Rava. Rava says, liolam, Rava amar liolam l'achar yish. Really, after the guy gave up hope, I gave up as miyayish, he's not mine anymore, he's good to go. Ulushum eved yishabed, and when he gets enslaved, he's redeemed to be slave. That refers to the Rabbi Sheni. The second guy gets dibs on him because he redeems him. He paid for him. It's all his. Lushum ben chorim, if he's redeemed to be free, lo yishabed lo the Rabbi Rishon lo the Rabbi Sheni. He's not going to be slave to either one. Lo the Rabbi Sheni, not for the second guy who just redeemed him, because the halushum ben chorim parki, he redeemed him to be free, so there's no one to take him over. And the Rabbi Rishon to me as the first owner, nami lo the halachar yishabed, because I already was miyayish on it. He's not mine, so therefore, no matter how you slice it, he's going to be free. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Ben Kach Yishabi. He thinks both situations he should be enslaved, no matter why and who's redeeming him. Why? Kidechizki. Damer Chizki. Chizki had a very, very serious concern. What's the reason why both scenarios are going to result in him continuing to be slaved? What's an Eved going to do? He's going to run away, get caught by some listim, gayasos, some bandits, and then he's going to force the Jews to redeem him, and he's going to go scot-free. So to avoid that from happening, from all of them running away and getting freed, he therefore made a takana, whenever you get freed, you're going to go back into slavery. This is not going to work. It's not going to be good efforts on your part.
So the question is, whose servitude is he going to? Rabbi Rishon or Rabbi Sheni?
Right.
Tosfos and Rashi seem to
be. Exactly. Rashi says Rabbi Rishon, and Tosfos seems to argue on that. The Gemara now says, we'll do a few more lines here. Mesivei, Amar Lehen Rashbag, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Kishem shemitzah liftos es b'nei chorin, kach mitzah liftos es havadim. The reasoning is, the reason just like is a mitzvah to redeem the free people, so too is a mitzvah to redeem the slaves. So that's the very reasoning of Abaye, the first answer. That's his svar that he used. So Bishma Labai, this all makes sense according to Bai. Damar Lefne Yish is all before Yish. Hainu the Kamar Kishem. That's as far that Rashba Yud is before Yish. And for Yish, he always goes into Avdus. And there's no motivation needed to help the guy from being freed, because Harry knows that Avadim have to be redeemed as well. There's a mitzvah to redeem Avadim. So therefore, when he gets redeemed, he's going to go back into my Avdus. Rava, Damar Lacha Yish is referring to after Yish. Hai Kishem. The explanation of Rashbag is not because of the Kishem, Mishum de Chizkiu. It's because of Chizkiu, because we don't want every Evid to run away and free himself through being poda. So it's Kashin Rava. Rava says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, lo yahavi yad my kamar Rabbanim. He didn't know what Rabbanim were saying to him. Hachi kamarle. So he says as follows. Elifne Yish, if you're referring to a situation before Yish, kamarisa hainu Kishem. Then you need the Svar of Kishem. That was a bias Svar. And Ilach Yish, if you're saying because you're referring to a situation after Yish of the Baal, then Karmisa Kidachiski, then you hold the Chizkiya. It sounds like both Svaras are okay. The only machlokas is how to interpret the Mishnah. But in practice, they're both in agreement. The Lachas are before Yish, and the Lachas after Yish are going to be the same for both parties. They're just arguing how to explain what the Mishnah is referring to. Okay. Shkoyach, we'll stop here.
Just why this brother come on to a different explanation than the Baal, if he's okay.